Right, session 8 in this course on church planting. Our topic in this session concerns what kind of church plant? What kind of church plant? As you know, a model provides an example of how to do something. Think of this scene. It's Christmas Eve, and the kids are finally in their beds, and you're trying to figure out the assembly directions for that wonderful, got-to-have-it thing the kids wanted. Is your blood pressure rising just with the thought of it? Well, sorry about that, but sometimes following a model is not as easy as it looks. It worked for them, why not for me? And what if you've got all the right materials, but the manufacturer put the wrong directions in the box? Sometimes church planting feels that way. You know from previous ministry experiences and a track record of effectiveness that you're not a total nitwit. But by following the directions of how someone else did church planting, well, it just doesn't seem to be working for you. What's wrong? Maybe what's wrong is the model selection. It might have been the right church planting strategy somewhere else, but maybe not where you are. As I mentioned in a previous session, when we started church planting in 1985, there were very few materials available on church planting. And while I'm grateful for what I learned through the experience, in retrospect, I see now that the church planting model I followed was not the right model for where we were attempting to start a church. The model had worked well in other places and could have worked where we were if I had recognized key variables I had not considered. Well, in this session, we will look at different church planting models in 4 different categories: parenting models, pioneering models, propagating models, and people group models. Within each category, there are also varieties of models for church planting. So to begin with, parenting models. Back in the 1950s, my father was associate pastor at Trinity Methodist Church in downtown Savannah, Georgia, and then returned to worship there when he retired in the mid-1980s. There's even an apartment for the pastor on the 4th floor of the church building called Hendricks House in honor of my parents and their work at the church, as my mother was also very involved in the church as she taught Sunday school and led the women's group. Anyway, the words Mother Church of Savannah Methodism can be found on Trinity Church bulletins and car tags and T-shirts. With numerous Methodist churches scattered around Savannah, Mother Church status is a matter that the church is rightly proud to display. Within the parenting model of Mother Church Daughter Congregation, there are 3 variations for new churches: colonizing, task force, and satellite. And then there are 2 variations related to starting afresh with dying churches: revitalization and reclamation. Colonizing occurs when a church sends a core group to another community to plant a new church there. There are advantages, as you can imagine, in this model, as the group has leaders, a central core, a financial base, and a unified doctrine to begin with. Its disadvantages might be too much longing to clone the mother church, a clique mentality, and too much potential control from the mother church to allow the new church to become contextualized. A task force differs from colonizing, as the task force does not intend to stay with the church. This can be effective as long as there is an exit strategy for the departure of the task force, so that the new church is not suddenly depleted of all resources. James Emery Wright came up with the idea of SWAT teams: special, willing, and temporary. They would come to be a part of the church for a short amount of time, helping to start and train leaders to take their places and then come back to the mother church. So SWAT teams. Well, the satellite congregation is a church planting model that is gaining popularity in connecting people with mega churches. This model provides extensions of the mother congregation in various contexts. A Trinity student said his church planting efforts were being affected by a satellite congregation where the services of a large church, the large church was 50 miles away, but it was being connected with a live TV feed. Prior to that technology, another mega church pastor was transported by helicopter from the north campus of his church to the main campus. Advantages of this model include identification with the mother church, financial support of the mother church, minimizing of the need for buildings, and the possibility of targeting various socioeconomic groups and differing worship taste. Disadvantages: may surface with too much dependency on the Mother Church and a potential unwillingness of the Mother Church to let go and allow a new church to take shape. Well, consider the strengths and weaknesses of colonizing, task forcing, and satelliting in your own interests and abilities. As someone who enjoys preaching weekly, I would have difficulty being the organizer for a satellite church that gathered people to watch someone else preach on a big screen TV. But other pastors who prefer areas of ministry like counseling and administration may be perfectly content to let someone else do the preaching. Revitalization and reclamation also fit in the category of a mother church, daughter church parenting model as a strong mother church steps in to take over. With revitalization, a dying church becomes daughter to a stronger church, allowing that church to plan, lead, and finance the rebuilding of a congregation in the area. Generally, the members of the dying church must give up complete control over the church and revert to a mission status. There is a reason the church is dying, and if the answer is to simply send more people into it, they will tend to repeat the unhealthy patterns that got them into the situation in the first place. Unhealthy patterns don't go away. There must be a release of control. That quotation from the Nehemiah Project manual. I noticed a sign in front of a church building that I passed on the way to a college where I taught. It was the same name, but underneath the name, the new sign said, "A Ministry of Blank Church." It was a friendly takeover, but a takeover nevertheless. The larger church stepped in and began to lead the dying church. It was interesting to observe as the new mother church offered a variety of concerts and other events of a different style than their usual style, a style much more compatible to the neighborhood of the formerly dying church. Reclamation is a more drastic measure as the dying church shuts down, allowing the new mother church to start over with the property and assets of the former congregation. In addition, most of the time the former members leave the church and they begin with a completely new core group. This can enable the new church to reach a different population. The ethnic and demographic makeup of the community has changed to such a point that the existing congregation is unwilling or unable to reach them. A mission-minded church will come into the area, shutting down the former church and starting a new one designed to reach the new ethnic population in the area. It can be a disadvantage if the community relates to the old church too much to the new church, because it usually requires that the old church shut its doors for a time. And I've read some from the church growth course. Some students have, when doing project modules and completing project and module assignments, have told about how they were at a church like that. That it was a church in the inner city. The other church basically died out. New church came in, started over, reclaiming the territory and starting afresh. Well, Pastor, would your church make a good parent? For lots of churches to be planted, lots of parent churches are needed. What would work best in your situation? Colonizing? A task force? A satellite? And what about dying churches? Are there churches in your area desperate enough to relinquish control and give another church a chance? While church planting with a parent church is akin to a mom-and-pop shoe store, helping Junior, who has been learning the business, start a branch store at the new shopping center, pioneering is totally different. The branch store has the advantage of the good name and reputation of mom-and-pop and an instant customer base. But if Junior decides to go to the next county or next state or to the other side of the world, Junior has to establish equity on his own. Pioneering models include the developer, initiator, multi-congregational, adoption, and key church models. So let's look at each of these models. In pioneering a new work, everything is startup. A leadership team must be developed and a financial base must be established. You know, what potential, what opportunities, what challenges, what adventures? What a God who would call his people to start churches from scratch, but then his son said he would build his church and the gates of Hades would not overcome it. So this nothing is impossible with God whom we serve also calls people today to plant churches. Well, what pioneering model best describes you and your interests and abilities? The developer is a pastor who intends from the beginning to build the church and remain with it as it grows to maturity and begins to reproduce itself in planting other churches. The church planter comes in to stay. Well, most of the church planters I've known have stayed at the churches they've started. The church they started is, for many of them, the only church where they've ever been employed. The initiator, however, knows going in that it's time to go do it again someplace else when the church plant is at the point where the church can be turned over to someone else. You see, Paul was an initiator. He was a missionary church planter who raised up leaders and then turned the church, that church over to a Timothy or to a Titus. Occasionally, criticism is directed towards initiators as lacking the skills to take a growing congregation any farther. But the initiator is also necessary in the overall approach to church planting. On the mission field, turning the church over as quickly as possible to the natives is encouraged and needs to be encouraged in North American settings as well. One church planting movement has developed a strategy that encourages proven church planters to go do it again and has offered financial backing that is not available to first-time church planters. Our church celebrated its 10th anniversary by inviting the founding pastor to preach. When he started the church, he knew he would not be staying less than 6 months into starting. He called me and asked if I wanted to become the pastor. The church is in my wife's hometown, and I started teaching at a nearby seminary. Well, I turned him down. But at that time, but a year later, he asked again, and I accepted. When he returned for the 10th anniversary, it was a different church, with only a handful of the original still around, and we had gathered a completely different group of people. But I am very grateful for his church planting. He planted, and we've watered. Well, not exactly Apollos and Paul, but we're grateful for the Lord's increase, as 1 Corinthians 3:6 mentions. Well, three other pioneering models, multi-congregational, adoption, and key church models also depend on developers and initiators. With the multi-congregational model, various congregations, especially ethnically diverse in nature, share resources in one building to minimize cost while contextualizing the gospel in several directions. For example, one church in California has 7 services on weekends for different ethnic groups. The adoption model occurs when a new congregation seeks affiliation with a particular denomination. This often occurs through a pastor who desires a covering and begins to attend pastors' meetings and conferences and indicates to the denominational representative a desire to affiliate. Visits to the church are scheduled to see if the new church is compatible with the other churches in the denomination. And sometimes the pastor is asked to take doctrine or polity courses. In some situations where a church planter was not approved as a denominational church planter, and the church planter goes ahead and starts an independent church, the new church may then seek to be adopted. Finally, the key church model works through establishing a partnership between a key church and the sponsoring denomination to share in the planting of a daughter congregation. This church planting hub, much like the church at Antioch, places a high expectation upon the key church to sponsor multiple daughter congregations over a period of time, and is designed to enable large churches to grow in missionary focus. Then a third general category of church planting is through propagating models. This involves leadership training and church planting movements, with the emphasis on starting not just one church, but many new churches. Through leadership training, by way of theological education, this model seeks to propagate new congregations by training local Christians to start new congregations. Pioneered in foreign mission fields, it sees every new Christian as a potential church starter and focuses on expansion through discipleship training. It was exciting for me to teach at Campus Crusade's New Life Bible College in Moscow, Russia, and to see the enthusiasm of the students for starting new churches. Hardly any of those students there thought about going to take over an existing church. They were thinking about starting new churches, pioneers, planting churches. One of the students that I really enjoyed getting to know is named Boris, and he accompanied a female student on her trip home to Siberia for a funeral. And Boris asked her pastor if he could help out while there, and the pastor told Boris about a village where he wanted to start a church. And so Boris, on a sleigh pulled by reindeer, shared the gospel with people in the village and organized the new converts into a Bible study. The pastor then started sending a Bible study leader over to lead a weekly Bible study. And that's how new churches get started there. People like Boris on a sleigh pulled by reindeer through a Siberian blizzard. Just go out, begin gathering people. Well, multiplication through church planting movements has been described by David Garrison in the book Church Planting Movements as a rapid and exponential increase of indigenous churches planting churches within a given people group or population segment. A spontaneous expansion of the church through church planting, this could be called. A friend from Ghana in Africa has described this as occurring through tribes and villages in a rapid fashion. An exciting account of exponential church planting is told about in Roland and Heidi Baker's book, There Is Always Enough, where thousands of churches have been started among the poorest of the poor in Mozambique. Finally, people group models denotes the planting of ethnic or people group churches within a larger majority context. This model relates to the homogeneous unit principle of the church growth movement that basically says that people are more likely to attend a service and hear the gospel presented in a manner with which they are familiar. People like to become Christians without crossing social, economic, or racial barriers. While there has been criticism of this principle, thinking it is against the mingling of racial groups, that's not the intention. The point is that people are more likely to come to Christ when the people speak their language, either literally or in their social context. And it's simply how people are and how people generally respond to one another. That's how the Nehemiah Project manual explains it. For church planting, the emphasis needs to be on clearly presenting the gospel to people in their social ethnic context in order to see people come to Christ. The Great Commission provides the marching orders for the church to go to all nations, and that means all ethnic groups. How may we cooperate with other churches in reaching people our own churches have not been able to reach? Well, when you think about all these models, what church planting model is right for you? See, the right model may depend on how you intend to gather people